said,
You can open your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1. I just want to be clear, I don't have a satchel. I just am Old Spice. I don't think I wear that either. But everything else is probably true that you just said. That wasn't a made-up story. I told you I didn't remember that, but I do vaguely remember meeting you because you were waiting on the West Virginia contingent. And that was just a great interaction. I am so glad you're in Sovereign Grace. So when Joel invited me to come to Bozeman, I wanted to come so that I could stand here and look each of you in the eye, if I can do that, and say thank you. I mean that. Thank you for being a part of our small denomination, our small family of churches. Whether you know it or not, you are strengthening Sovereign Grace. Let me just explain why. Just your gospel presence here in Bozeman, Montana, and your commitment to preach the gospel, your commitment as believers to apply the gospel to your life, your desire to reach the lost with the gospel. Just thinking how to use your chili cook-off. Yeah, that word. To invite co-workers and family members who may not know the Lord is just one of expression of your commitment to reach the lost with the gospel. All of that strengthens us as a family of churches. Plus, you are the only Sovereign Grace Church in Montana at this point, because I believe the Lord's going to use your church. And we were talking about this over the weekend. As a mission base to plant other Sovereign Grace churches, not only in this state, but in this part of the country. It's something I pray for often, that God would give us gospel opportunities in this part of our country. And I believe you're going to play an important role in that. So thank you, thank you, thank you for being a part of Sovereign Grace. I want to read a sentence to you. And I want to see if you recognize this sentence. We exist to make disciples who delight in, display, and declare the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do you recognize that? What is that? It's your mission statement as a church. And when I read that sentence, when I read your mission statement as a church, it told me a lot about you. It told me that you are not only lovers of Jesus Christ, but you believe as a church that God's called you to do radical things for Christ. And so today I want to talk to you about your life. I want to talk to you about your life individually as a disciple of Christ. I want to talk to you about your life together as a church family and our life together as a family of churches. I want to talk about what you will give yourself to and the gospel culture that you're building here, so that as you look into the future, you anticipate doing some world-changing things for the glory of Christ and for the good of the gospel. Now, I know you know this, but it is helpful to say it. You don't have to know a lot of things to do world-changing things for Jesus Christ. But you have to know one thing, and you have to know it well, and you have to love it, and you have to be willing to give your life to it. And that one thing, as you know, is the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. See, I want to show you from this text in Colossians 1 that this gospel is so unstoppable. It has a power that is so unstoppable that you will harness yourself to it by faith, then you're going to do some radical things for Jesus Christ, not only as disciples of Christ, but as a church family as well. Therefore, I've prayed for you. I've prayed that this passage would stir you, that it would increase faith, that it would cast vision for your future. Because of this is the thing that we're going to learn from these verses. The power of the gospel produces growth. And I'm using this word gospel a lot today. I just want to be clear on that. What is the gospel? The gospel is this, that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, left glory, that he stepped into our fallen world through the virgin birth, and he lived a perfect life, and he died a perfect death for my sins, and for your sins on the cross. And through his shed blood, redeeming us from our sins. And then he rose again on the third day, declaring victory over death and Satan and sin. He appeared to many before his ascension. He ascended into heaven, and he will come back to judge the living and the dead, bringing with him the new heavens and the new earth that we sang about in that last song. That's the gospel. And then there's our response to the gospel, that we would put no trust in any of our good works, but that we would turn from our sin and put our full trust and full faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ alone. That's a response to the gospel. So I'm using that word a lot today, and I wanted to be clear on what that's about. The title of my message is Gospel Growth, and we're going to read Colossians 1, verses 3 through 8. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this you have heard before in the word of the truth, the gospel, which has come to you as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and increasing, as it also does among you, since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth. Just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. May God bless the preaching of his word. My wife Jill and I have been married for 41 years. I only wish she were with me because she makes me look a lot better than I really am. And I hope to return next year and bring her with me. And you'll say, yep, that was an upgrade. You'll definitely say that. Jill and I have 3 daughters and we have 10 grandchildren between the ages of 3 and 11. And so when we're all together, it's chaos in our house and it's a lot of fun. We did something in our home as our girls grew up in our home, probably something that you've done or maybe you're doing with your children. Every so often, we would get our 3 girls together and we would back them up against a door frame in our house. And we would mark with a pencil line on the door frame their height, just with the pencil line and a date and their initials by it. And then every few months or so, 3 to 6 months, we would back them up against that door frame again and we would mark the pencil line and we had a bunch of dates and initials there. We did that as parents because you don't see growth in your kids each and every day, right? But when you brought them against that door frame and you saw those pencil lines, you realized that they, in fact, were physically growing. I tell you that story because Paul begins this letter speaking about growth. In fact, he points to specific markers, like those markers on the door frame in our home. He points to specific markers in the lives of the Colossians that were evidence that the gospel was growing them, and evidence that because of the gospel's power, they were in fact growing. The question is why? Why did he start this letter talking about gospel growth? Well, as you know, Paul is writing this letter from his prison cell in Rome to address a couple of major issues that were brought to him by Epaphras. Epaphras was the man who planted this church in Colossae, and so he pens this letter to address some of the issues. And one of those issues is that Paul is addressing the false teachers that were in Colossae, and they were unsettling the believers there because they were claiming that there was a greater knowledge or these works that needed to be added to the gospel for you to be right with God. Let me just give you a couple of illustrations. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8, that some of these false teachers were saying there's this greater knowledge that you need to possess to be right with God. Colossians 2, verse 8, see to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. And then we know from Colossians 2, verse 18, that there was these false teachers that were wanting to add these works to the gospel, this asceticism, these things that you had to refrain from because that somehow made you in good standing with God. Colossians chapter 2, verse 18, Paul gives this warning, let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism and worship of angels, going on in detail about visions, puffed up without reason by his sensuous mind and not holding fast to the head, which is Christ. So Paul is writing this letter to address these false teachers. And what these false teachers are basically doing is they're saying the gospel isn't sufficient, and they were shrinking the gospel itself. You and I, we live in a world that attempts to do that. That attempts to shrink the gospel and the power of the gospel. The world, it offers us knowledge and opportunity and hope for advancement. And those can be good things, but if we believe they have an inherent power to them, then we can be deceived, as Paul was pointing out to the Colossians. The world that we live in attempts to shrink the gospel. See, Paul comes running into the middle of this confusion that these false teachers are creating, and he firmly makes his stand on the gospel of Jesus Christ alone. He says to the Colossians, these false teachers are wrong, and proof that they are wrong. Proof is this, there is nothing more powerful than the gospel, and proof of that is that it's bearing fruit and increasing. Chapter 1, verse 6. See, for us as believers, there is nothing greater than the gospel of Jesus Christ, and there is nothing more powerful than the gospel working in our lives, because it will grow us in Christ's likeness, and it will reach more and more people for Jesus Christ. Now, like our kids, we may not discern, we may not be aware of our growth each and every day, but the gospel has a power that is progressively at work in each of us. It is bearing fruit and growing. See, the power of the gospel produces growth. But here's the question I want to ask you, and the question we're going to answer today. How do you know as an individual disciple of Christ that you're growing? How do you know that you're growing as a church family called Emmaus Road Church? How do we know as a denomination called Sovereign Grace that we are growing? Well, this text gives us three markers of gospel growth. Here's the first marker. Gospel growth is seen in us as individual disciples of Christ. So Paul, upon hearing this report from Epaphras, he's not only grateful to God, he's actually enthusiastic. He's excited because he hears proof that the gospel has come to Colossae and is producing evident growth in the life of the believers there. In fact, Paul thanks God for specific evidences of growth in the Colossians' lives. Look at chapter 1, verses 3 through 5a again. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. Now listen to what he thanks God for. Since we heard of your faith, there's the first evidence of growth, your faith in Christ Jesus, and of the love, there's a second evidence, love, that you have for all the saints, because of the hope. Hope is the third evidence laid up for you in heaven. Look, he's saying to the Colossians, look at the presence of faith and of love and of hope that you have in your life that was at one time not present in your life. And you know this from reading your New Testament, that triad of virtues of faith and love and hope, it's repeated over and over again as markers of Christian maturity. So if you want to know if you're growing as a Christian, look at the presence of faith and hope and love in your life and ask yourself if you're growing in those ways. See, once God regenerates our hearts and we respond to the gospel and we seek to apply the gospel daily to our lives, it has this inherent power that will increase our faith, that will deepen our love for the saints and for God, and that will give us a steadfast hope, especially in this odd year of 2020. That's happened, hasn't it? Now, don't get me wrong. We will sin, and we will struggle, and we will stumble, but he who began a good work in us, he will carry it on to completion. Why? Because the power
of the gospel produces growth. In fact, do you realize you say as much as a local church? When you talk about your mission statement, you talk about displaying the gospel, here's what you say. As disciples of Jesus Christ, we display the transforming power of the gospel. That's what we're reading here in Colossians chapter 1. The gospel not only saves us, but it changes us to be more like Christ. By the grace of God, as we behold the glory of Jesus Christ and apply the truth of God's word to our lives, we become more like Christ. God's Spirit leads us in walking by faith, fighting sin, and joyfully obeying His commands. You get it as a church. You understand the power of the gospel. I want to give you just a recommendation, though. Sometime over the next week, I want you to take just like 10 minutes. And I want you to step back and I want you to reflect upon areas where the gospel has grown you over the last year. Just take 10 minutes and do that. And you might think, is that okay to do? Is it okay for me to reflect upon how much I have grown? And it could almost sound arrogant, right? It can be if you take credit for the growth. But if you realize that's the grace of God, that's the transforming power of the gospel that's work in your life, then what happens is you're humbled by that. And your reflection turns into an act of worship because you thank God and you praise God for the gospel growth that is in you. Now, the gospel not only works in us, we see from that, from our text, that it also works among us as well. So that's the second marker of gospel growth. Gospel growth is seen among us. So look at chapter 5. And the second half of chapter 5 and verse 6. Of this you have heard before, in the word of the truth, the gospel, which has come to you, individual believer, as indeed in the whole world is bearing fruit and increasing, as it also does, where? Among you. Among you. Among you as a local church. See, when this letter would have arrived in Colossae, what happened at that time is the entire church was gathered and it was read out loud to them from beginning to end. We know from chapter 4, verses 8 and 9 that Tychicus and Onesimus, they were the two men that delivered this letter from Rome to the saints in Colossae. Maybe even one of them read it to the church. I often wondered what it would have been like to be a part of the church on that day. The church was aware that Epaphras had went to Rome to get Paul's wisdom and help. Word got around town that these men were back with Paul's letter. A church meeting was called. We all gathered together, like we're gathered here today. And this letter was read out loud to them. And they hear these words, "We always thank God for you. We thank God for you because of our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ when we pray for you. Since we heard of your faith," I often wonder if the reader paused and looked around and thought, "Oh yeah, there are people here who have they've grown in their faith this year. And of your love for all the saints," was there another pause and look around the room and realizing that this church had grown in its love for one another? It must have been a wonderful moment to be sitting there in that church on that day when this letter was read out loud and these evidences of gospel growth were made aware to the congregation. I think that pattern in the New Testament is a pattern that we should apply today. So I want to give you an assignment. I have no authority to give you this assignment. Let me just be very clear about that. But it doesn't stop me from giving assignments. Sometime over the next 3 months, devote a community group meeting to doing this. So if you lead a small group, just email or text or however you communicate with your group, just email them a couple weeks before and say, "When we meet next, what I want you to do is I want you to come with evidences of growth that you see in everybody else's life in our group. And then gather together on that night and then just go around the room and let each person share how they're seeing
the evidences of gospel growth, the evidences of grace in each other's lives. We did this a couple of years ago at our church, at Covenant Fellowship Church. It was a glorious time. And our community group leaders, they got back to us and said, these meetings were so good, but we couldn't just stop. We couldn't just end the meeting sharing these evidences of growth. We had to sing because we realized this was God's doing in our life, and we just had to worship God. See, I share that story because meetings like that have been happening in our denomination for over 35 years. See, our denomination was birthed really out of revival, the Jesus movement of the 1970s. Our denomination wasn't born out of theological controversy or disagreement. And as we grew and matured, God did a wonderful work through our founder, C.J. Mahaney, where we built these gospel-centered churches that are marked by joy and gratefulness and humility and generosity and fellowship, where we gather together regularly and we help each other apply the gospel to our lives, to our marriages, to our parenting, to single life, and to the workplace. And that gospel-centered DNA that marks our culture is not just in one church. It's in our churches throughout the world. Now, this is not a distinct work that God has done, but it's a unique work that God has done in sovereign grace. And I say all of that because you're a part of the denomination that says we are dependent upon this gospel. And we believe in its power. And we believe it will change us. And it will not only grow us in Christ's likeness. We know from our text in verse 6 that it increases exponentially as well. That the power of the gospel, it does reach more and more people for Jesus Christ. And this is very helpful for me personally. Because when it comes to evangelism, I can relate to these prayers that Joel prayed to grow in evangelism. It's not a strength for me. I invite people to church, it seems like they never come. I share the gospel with people, it seems like they never get saved. And you can get discouraged when that happens. But I'm so glad Colossians chapter 1 verse 6 is in my Bible. Because it tells me I just got to be faithful to share it. And the gospel will produce power. William Hendrickson makes a wonderful observation about this verse. He says in Colossians 1 verse 6 this. In Colossians 1 6, Paul is placing all the emphasis upon the fact that by God's power and grace, it is the gospel itself that is thus bearing fruit and growing. The gospel never depends on man. Now, doesn't that unburden you for just a moment? The gospel doesn't depend upon each of us, not even on Paul, Hendrickson says. It is God's work in which he is pleased to use man. That is helpful. We just got to be faithful to share it. And the power of the gospel will produce growth. But you can see from our text that this is not just a local phenomenon. It's a global one as well, which is our third marker of gospel growth. Number 3, gospel growth is seen beyond us. So it's seen in us as individual disciples. It's seen among us as a local church. But it's also seen beyond us. Look at second half of verse 5 and verse 6 again. Of this you have heard before, and the word of the truth, the gospel, which has come to you as indeed in the whole world, it is bearing fruit and increasing. So as we read those verses, keep context in mind. Paul is writing to address these false teachers who are spreading this bogus philosophy that there's something greater than the gospel that believers needs. And so Paul, he counters that by pointing the Colossians to the evidences of growth that is seen in them as individual believers in faith, love, and hope, and the evidence of growth that's seen among them as a church family. And he says to them, that growth that's happening in you and that growth that's happening among you, that's happening all over the world. And that's how he effectively counters the false teachers. And as he does this, he reminds each of us that you and I, we are involved in something grander and greater than ourselves. The preaching of Christ to every tribe and tongue and nation. Jesus says in Mark 16:15, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. So what Paul is doing here is he is intentional to tell other people about what's happening in Colossae, because he knows hearing the reports about the faith, hope, and love that's happening in Colossae will only encourage members of other churches throughout the world in their own evangelistic efforts. And you know that Paul gave reports in Colossae about what was happening all over the world. We know that because what's clear in the New Testament is that churches are interdependent upon one another. We're not these isolated entities, but we're interdependent upon one another to do gospel mission together. And that's one of the reasons I love being a part of our little denomination called Sovereign Grace. Because we are intentional to tell stories like Paul is telling here to encourage one another in our gospel work locally and throughout the world. So I just want to take a few minutes. Joel asked me to do this, to tell you some stories about what's happening around the world in Sovereign Grace. And thank you for praying. Continue to pray. What's happening, especially outside the States, is something we didn't plan. It's something God is doing. We give Him the credit for. But quite frankly, we don't know what we're doing. We need God's help and God's wisdom. So let me talk about church planting first. We're presently planting 8 churches that are in the first 2 years of their church plants. Redeemer Fellowship in Newark, Delaware. Grace City Church in Wilmington, North Carolina. Trinity Grace Church in Athens, Tennessee. Sovereign Grace Church Parramatta in Sydney, Australia. So we've had a church in Sydney for 10 years. A year ago, they planted another church in Sydney, in the Parramatta section of Sydney. Iglesia Gracia Soberana in Santa Cruz, Bolivia. Igreja Gracia Soberana in Sao Paulo, Brazil. Grace Family Church in Kingston, Jamaica, is just a little over a year old. And Trinity Fellowship in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, they just had their first public service 2 weeks ago and are reaching Muslims with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I just shared an email this week with Michael Granger, who's leading that church plant. And what's happening is that Muslims are coming to Christ. So it's risky there. And one of them is a man from Somalia who has taken the gospel back to Somalia. Michael was telling me he's led over 100 Muslims to Christ recently. And he's now saying to Michael, I want to plant a church here and I want it to be a Sovereign Grace church. What do I do? And so Michael's saying, what do we do? And I'm saying, I don't know what to do. We've got to pray. And we need God's help in knowing how to steward that kind of growth. We are currently planting a church just getting off the ground in Prattville, Alabama. And then just after the turn of the year, we're going to plant Mission City Fellowship in San Antonio, Texas. We have church plants planned for Oaxaca, Mexico, and Reynosa, Mexico. And then 10 more plants that will potentially happen between the years 2022 and 2025. We are praying that one of those is here in Montana, actually. That you would be a part of that. So why do we plant these churches? Is this all about growing Sovereign Grace? No. Here's why we plant churches. Let me tell you a story. I mentioned Redeemer Fellowship in Newark, Delaware. Like Bozeman, it has a university there. You have Montana State here. University of Delaware is in Newark, Delaware. And Joel Shorey, who was a fellow pastor of mine, we sent him out with about 30 people about a year and a half ago to plant Redeemer Fellowship. And there was a young lady who came to their church. She got there because a professor at the University of Delaware invited this young woman to Redeemer Fellowship. Joel said, when I first met this woman, she was clearly immersed in some gender dysphoria. Later, I found out that she had been identifying as a man and was in a transgender relationship for 4 years. But since coming to Redeemer Fellowship and hearing the gospel proclaimed and seeing the gospel lived out among our members, she has been shown that there's a far clearer, far greater identity in Jesus Christ. This young lady was born again and baptized near the end of 2019. Joel goes on to say, yeah, amen, amen. You can clap for that. Joel goes on to say, she's now very clear about the fact that she was created by God as a woman and that she gets to live for Jesus out of that identity, and that is for her good and His glory. That's why we plant churches. And if we planted that church only for that one woman, it's worth it. It doesn't matter. We don't plant churches to grow sovereign grace. We're not interested in numbers. But we want to reach the lost. People like this woman who have gender dysphoria, which is more commonplace in our culture today, with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can pray for wisdom because we currently have 52 churches throughout the world who are pursuing partnership with Sovereign Grace. 20 in the Philippines, 5 in Liberia, 16 in Nepal, 4 more in Mexico, 2 in Costa Rica, and 2 in Colombia, just to name some of the countries where we are interacting with pastors about coming into Sovereign Grace. And we have to be careful about how quickly we grow and how we steward that growth. We don't want to make mistakes there. We want to serve these pastors and these churches. We're at work in 32 nations with some 300 churches right now. And what is happening outside of the states is something we just quite frankly didn't plan. It is a Spirit-led thing that we can only give God credit and glory for. So why am I telling you all of this? For two reasons. Here's the first one. Brothers and sisters, we must continue to firmly believe in the power of the gospel. We must not be complacent. We must not be lulled to sleep. We must continue to believe in the power of the gospel. Do you realize what you have in the gospel of Jesus Christ? Listen to what Terry Virgo says. It is of no small thing to be the world's only light, to be the fulfillment of centuries of ancient prophetic promises, to be heralding the day of the Lord, to hold the message of history in your hands. You do. You hold the message of history in your hands. And that is more important this year than any other year that I've been alive. Remember that. And to be the world's one and only answer. It is our indescribable privilege to be caught up by the Holy Spirit in the greatest movement in history. The proclaiming of Christ to every tribe and people and nation. Believe in the power of the gospel. Here's the second reason I'm telling you this. We believe that local churches plant other local churches. So when I talk about Sovereign Grace planting churches, it's not an organization doing that. It's our local churches that have a heart and desire to plant other local churches. And what that means is that everyone sitting here has a role. Everyone is involved in gospel mission. And so, what do you do? I think you do what Epaphras did. Look at verse 7 again. Just as you learned it, meaning learn the gospel from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. Now listen how he is described. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. What are you to do? Do what Epaphras did. Be a faithful minister of Christ. And I say that because we have to be careful about how we define mission. Mission is not only in the sending and the going. It is. But mission is also in the staying and being faithful. Because what we've learned over time is that strong local churches that are filled with faithful people plant strong other churches. That's what happens. And so your faithfulness is really important in building this church as this church prepares to plant other churches. And that faithfulness is expressed in so many ways. Your regular participation here in the Sunday service and in community group. Your sacrificial service to your church. The generous giving that you give to Emmaus Road. Your consistent evangelism. Your passionate prayers. Brothers and sisters, these are not ordinary things. They're extraordinary things in the sight of God. Because He looks upon them and He says, you are being faithful. See, mission isn't only in the going, it's also in the staying and the sending.
So we want to do this. We want to build biblically faithful, gospel-centered churches that endure, because it's those churches that will endure in gospel mission. And so if this message has affected you at all, I hope it leaves you with this point. Be faithful and believe in the power of the gospel. And let me just close with that. May you be a church that is filled with faithful ministers of Christ who believe in the power of the gospel. And as you do that together, may you do some great radical things for Jesus Christ and all for His glory. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for this gospel that has rescued us from the wrath that we deserve because of our many sins, and redeemed us and made us righteous and given us the hope of eternal life. This is not our doing. It is the work of Christ in the gospel on our behalf. And I pray for Emmaus Road Church. I pray that they would more firmly believe in the power of the gospel. That they would be eager to share it. That they would be eager to apply it to their own lives. And I pray along with Joel that You would give this church opportunities to share that good news in the weeks and the months to come. But I also pray that You would use this church to plant other churches locally, regionally, and even throughout the world. Use this church in all the ways that You have planned to reach many more people with the good news of Jesus Christ. All for the glory of Christ alone, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Timely word for us. We're going to participate in the Lord's Supper now. Our Savior Jesus Christ has ordained and instituted the communion table to nourish and sustain those who are united by faith to Him and His church until He returns and makes all things new. In the eating of the bread and the drinking of the cup, we remember Christ's sacrificial death in our place for the forgiveness of sins, deliverance from judgment, reconciliation to God, and the eternal satisfaction of our souls. All who are trusting in Christ are invited to the table. Can I invite the music team up as we prepare to sing and participate in the Lord's Supper? If you are a Christian today, you are invited to the Lord's table to take the bread and the cup. If you are not following Jesus today, or if you have unfinished business with the Lord, the best thing you can do is to just stay in your seat. That's most appropriate. And we'd love to chat with you more afterward and have a conversation about who Jesus is and what He has accomplished. But we're going to participate now, and as we do that, let me give a little bit of instruction. We're going to be singing a song together. As we are singing, you don't need to wait till we're finished. Please come forward, and we'll start with this side of the room today, and ask this side to come first, and then the middle and over here. To come forward, receive the bread and the cup, and then go back to the, yeah, I know, this side of the room getting love, finally. I'll let it go to your head. And receive the bread and the cup. And then make your way back to your seat. And at that point, we'll stop singing. I'll read some scripture that's relevant to the Lord's Supper. And we'll eat and drink together. But I just want to emphasize that there's no magic in what we're about to do. It's instituted by Jesus. It is an occasion to have a wonderful, gracious encounter with Him. Not in a way that saves us, but in a way that celebrates the fact that we've been saved. And we're looking forward to the glorious eternity we have with Him. And so we are reminded that we need the daily sustaining grace of Jesus in our lives until that day when we're with him forever. So, Jeremiah, brother, would you and the team please lead us in singing now? Please stand.